All right. Welcome, everybody. Here we are today for our FNC office hours call for our ERC group. Today, we're so lucky to have Brandon with us, and he is one of our NEPT students. I've had the pleasure of working with Brandon in person. We were in Austin together at the Ancient Yoga Center doing some of Laura Fine's work, and so I'm thrilled to have some more time with him to get to know him better. And his presentation is really thrilling for me to get to hear from him personally. I know a little bit about Brandon's story. His health journey began many, many years ago with a colon reconstruction surgery for severe Crohn's disease. So he's going to share, I'm sure, some of that with us and what brought him on this journey to health coaching and how he came here to NEPT. And the topic for today is Spiritual Guide to Healing Digestion. So we're just going to pass it over to Brandon, and I'm looking forward to hearing his presentation, and I will make you co-host so you can share your slides. Okay.
All right.
Thank you for Brandon.
All right. Thank you so much, Kimberly. And let's just dive right into the slides. Let's see if I can do a screen share. Right. Can everybody see the slides so far?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about the spiritual guide to healing your digestion. And just as a disclaimer, we're going to start out, the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. And it's not medical advice. It's just a sharing of my knowledge and information and research and my experience and everybody else that helped me along the way. And I encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and obviously in partnership with a qualified professional. So we're going to start out if, you know, you're in the right place here. If you have some gastric discomfort, some cramping, maybe a little bit of pain, not really sure where it's coming from. And also if your moods are unpredictable and you're finding it very hard to focus, you kind of got that brain fog. Seems like we all kind of do. Even my youth, I had a brain fog. And also if you can't seem to lose weight, despite even a clean diet, congestion or heartburn, a lot of gas and bloating. That's like a pretty common theme, a lot of gas and bloating. Not sure where it comes from. If it's the meal that's been in you or if it, what you just ate or anything in between, it's really hard. And also acid reflux or any symptoms of IBS. Or if you know anybody that has Crohn's disease or yourself or symptoms of ulcerative colitis or just some sort of inflammatory bowel, or even colon cancer. And you're in the right place if you know it's just not the food. There's so many different aspects of balancing our health, and it's just, we seem to focus on the food so much when we need to really kind of expand on that and get the big picture of health and kind of synergistically weave them all together and finding balance too. And that's what we're going to talk about here. And I do have a little guide. I can add a link in at the end. So we're going to start with what is spirituality? And we're just going to start off just a real simple definition. And it's the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or your soul, as opposed to like the material world or some physical things. And this includes both mental and emotional aspects. And it doesn't mean you're necessarily part of a religion. And it's really, spirituality to me is just like how you connect with the world in year 2019 and everybody around you and really getting connected with purpose and being able to flow with that and feeling your passion, just be you. And we're talking about our highest self, connection to spirit or divine or the Holy Spirit or source, God, the all that is. We use a lot of different terms for that. And I put in a little quote in here. The mystery of salvation is based on the death of the physical and a redemption of the soul. So it's almost like a remembering, trying to remember. And spirituality, just simply put, is just awareness, your own self-awareness and awareness to how you are in the world. So you can be asking yourself questions like, do I belong to something bigger, or can I even trust my fellow humanity? I feel like there's a lot of distrust out there because maybe we see the news and we're just like, how do I fit into this world if, you know, all these scary things are going on out there? We kind of tend to want to close in. And so where do we get like that ultimate strength? And I feel like that definitely comes from within. And can I trust my path? Can I find balance along the way? And this will be like a pretty common theme here. And in understanding the basics of digestion, you'll discover who's in charge. Here's a hint. It's not you. It's not you guys. It's much bigger. It's, again, we seem to focus in on the food when there's really all these mental, emotional, and also spiritual aspects that really go into balancing our health. And so I just want to start with like a little bit of my journey. And I've been through a lot of rough with Crohn's disease, and I even had a colon resection surgery. And I feel like that was my birth. That was my wake-up call. And that really helped me step into my passion and really helping others and feeling like, hey, it's not the end of the world if you have a surgery or if you've been on medications for a lot of years, because I've been in that same position. I felt like there was no hope. So I felt like this was almost my spiritual awakening when I literally went into the operating room, and like out of there, I rebirthed myself. I, you know, started picking up new principles and working on my mental and emotional and physical health, which birthed into, you know, looking more into spirituality and really trusting that flow and trusting my path and really getting connected with something higher and something beyond. And so we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. This is a beautiful thing. I love when I hear this. And so the big picture things, our spiritual existence, everything is energy, everything is vibration, everything is frequency. Our thoughts, our bodies, our emotions, and as Laura Fine always calls emotions, and I hear a lot of others say, it's the energy in motion. That is our motions. And everything is connected. The ocean, trees, clouds, grass, all the rocks, the flora, the fauna, and our hearts too. We are, even if we're on the other side of the world, we are all connected with each and one another. Again, with these frequencies and vibrations, and really our human eye and just our senses can only see just a narrow little bandwidth in this infinite, you know, universe. Either way, we can only see like a finite amount, and really there's so much going around us that we can't even see or hear, touch, taste, or feel, that is really affecting our health. And really becoming in tune with those things are really going to help you along your journey. So I'm going to go into a lot of spiritual qualities, or frequencies, or vibrations that do affect us. And so we got humility, forgiveness, compassion, purity, patience, right? Discernment, humor, intimacy, integrity, gratitude. Gratitude is a very, very big one. Innocence, discipline, empathy, kindness, acceptance. And there's a couple more in here that I wove in there. But then ultimately, really what these things fall under is love. Love. Love is like the ultimate vibration. We live in a dualistic world, the duality, love or hate or fear, or black and white, yin and yang. And really, ultimately, it's the love vibration that really brings everything and all of these qualities in a spiritual life and balanced health altogether. Loving others, loving yourself, nourishing yourself, all of these things, all of it comes back to love. So even Ram Dass says, I'm interested in being a lover. I'm interested in only being love. So that is just a much bigger, much grander thing. So love, everything needs food to live, even love. If we don't know how to nourish our love, it withers. When we feed and support our own happiness, we are nourishing our ability to love. That's why to love means to learn the art of nourishing our own happiness. So it's like getting out of our minds. Our minds seem to race so much rather than feeling into our heart and feeling into something and really getting connected with that. I feel like we've been very conditioned to like be trapped in our mind and keep things erasing, when really if we just let that calm and settle, it's like, what am I really feeling in my heart? And because the mind really keeps us kind of stuck in the physical world, when we know there's just much more beyond this. So the heart knows no boundaries. And even at the Institute of Heart Math, they have found that the heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain actually sends to the heart. And we always think that that's the other way around. And it's very interesting to find that there's more meridians coming out from your heart. It's very interesting. And humility. So being humble. And humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. So it's becoming humble, dropping your ego or shadow self, thinking that we always know the answer to everything all the time. And but also remember that it's a powerful practice to do self-gratitude and acknowledge your own accomplishments. Don't be so humble that it's just like, did this cool thing, but, it doesn't mean anything. So make sure you're still acknowledging yourself is very, very important. And reprogramming that never enough attitude. And I know I really have this kind of instilled in deep inside me that it's like never enough. Even though like a little thing, it's just like I'm on to the next, and I can't constantly feel like I have to accomplish things. So we're all learning together to kind of reprogram that never enough attitude. And appreciation, it seems to activate kind of that frontal lobe and kind of calm into the nervous system. And people often forget what you said, but they'll forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that's so true. So being thankful and telling people that I appreciate you, or you're an inspiration, or you're just a blessing, just being so appreciative of everyone around you and really just giving them a nice little smile. And forgiveness, that is a big one. And I feel like I'm working on myself as well. And we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Coming back around to love there. And there is some good in the worst, evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. So forgiving others. And ultimately, really, I've seen inside the souls of others, and because they really don't know what they do. And we can't really hold a grudge against somebody. And so just learning to ultimately forgive somebody, because they are on their own path to realizing that they need to say forgive you as well. And compassion. And there's a Hindu saying, it's loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. And there's a lot of good chants that go along to this. And it means, may all beings everywhere be happy and free. May the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to the happiness and to the freedom for all. So this is coming back to doing unto others as they would have done unto you. And kindness. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, and kindness in your warm greeting. So going out there and just doing random acts of kindness, coming back around to even just giving somebody a smile and that eye contact. And I know where I live, right? Answers going on. And it kind of is a strange feeling, but sometimes when you connect with somebody, even just with eye contact, it's really great. It's very warming to the soul. And when you can be able to just like smile back at one another, it's really a beautiful thing. And purity. These are like, I guess the modern Ten Commandments, the shall nots and the shalls, and thou shall not kill, not steal, not lie, not hate, not oppress. Pretty common here, even just like even the on love and create. Knowledge. Better for yourself. Have the courage. And really, and learn knowing when to say it's at the right time. Helpful, don't say it. If it's truthful and not helpful, still don't say it. If it is not truthful and helpful, don't say it. But if it is truthful and helpful, gotta wait for the right time. So divine timing, knowing when to say what at the right time. And patience. And I always looked at nature, and this is where I learned a lot of my own patience. And it's adopting the pace of nature. And that's her secret. It's allowing for the tiny events to happen at its own pace without trying to interfere or... And this is not only patience for others, but for yourself. And I know this just from my own kind of self-reflection. I'm very patient, very calm, very chill, very, very patient with others. But myself, sometimes I'm just like, come on, Brandon, let's do this thing. Hurry up. Let's figure this out. Or body, please respond a lot faster and be not so patient with myself. So really learning to be patient with yourself could be kind of the biggest element to learning patience and what we really seek is what we already are, and it's already here. And when we start to rush things, we create an imbalance of energies and we inhibit those practical positive results and we see them as ill fortune. So like kind of having like that misperception that even though we think we're speeding something up, it could really set us back in the long term. So the more patient that we become with ourselves, really, we could see a lot more results if we are more consistent and, again, patient. So really, patience is a space between your dreams and their manifestation. Very, very true. And integrity. And just keep in mind, you may be the only Bible that somebody else reads. So walking your talk and having the courage to say no or to face the truth. And this is not about gossiping or talking badly of others, too. And it's also about keeping promises, even if it takes just a little bit more extra effort. And ultimately doing the right thing, whether anybody is looking or seeing you or not. So it's just integrity, doing the right thing, whether anybody knows it or not. Gratitude is such an abundant feeling, and it just increases the happiness. It reduces your depression and strengthens your resilience. It can lower your blood pressure and your pain, even in that moment. That's something I can even feel, and increase your energy for and just a longer lifespan. And you have a higher self-esteem. It makes it you more approachable in the world. So wrapping around to the spiritual aspects of gratitude and how others are more likely to approach you just based on your gratitude for others. And gratitude practice before bed even makes for a restful night. Everybody can use a little bit of rest at night, and we know that. And so I'm going to drop in a little bit of science of gratitude. We're going to talk about this a little bit more, a little bit further down, but really it rewires the brain and the gut, which the gut, to me, that's our second brain. And this is to produce more dopamine and serotonin, because a lot of your serotonin is created in your gut. And these are those feel-good neurotransmitters and really just make us feel good, and they act as antidepressants. And really, our brain, you can even re-hardwire itself. You know, the more that we activate that prefrontal cortex and adopt a gratitude practice. So speaking of gratitude practices, we can just like, even just learning to savor positive experiences and thinking what you already have rather than what we don't. We always seem to think of or focus more of our energy on the things that we don't have rather than what is before us and what is in our life and family, friends, and community. And another practice is just tell people in your life, even the people that you see every day, maybe we're just stuck on that little schedule and we're just like, wow, got so used to being around you that I forgot to like actually appreciate you. And it's being more kind and receptive, and again, making eye contact and smiling at someone or holding the door or volunteering in something that you believe in. And this is really something that's helped me. And sometimes I should take my own advice on a gratitude journal. In general, I need to do a lot more journaling and even just a short little jaunt. I have in a little panda planner. It's called, there's even like a little space for, five things that you're grateful for. And it's a really good way to even just start the day or again, end the night, because you can have way better sleep if we have a little gratitude journal or just a little thing that we jot down. And even if we, you know, write some things down and then we burn it or, you know, under some kind of, just do a little ceremony or not, just write down something that you're grateful for. And it really, really, really helps. It's a really beautiful thing. So we're going to move on to innocence. And I love this. The most sophisticated people I know inside, they are all children. So we're looking for like a mind that is childlike, not so much childish. So that's an important thing right there. And so innocence is when the mind is not. So again, kind of reprogramming that mind and getting out of our mind and just being present with the now. And the freedom from the mind will really help you see the truth. And our mind can help us in some ways. And it's not so much freedom from the mind as, again, we're talking about the freedom from conditioning, the way that we've all been essentially brought up. We're trying to break free from that conditioning, all those things that we were taught, and this is really a process of unlearning so that we can learn anew. So generosity. So doing things for people, not because of who they are or what they do in return, but because of who you are. And so this liberates us from the concept of scarcity. So the more that we give away, really allows more space for something else to come into our lives. I know I've done a lot of cleanses, even just with like my own material things. I've gotten rid of all my things. And it has really helped. It's really helped feel like I don't have those weights of the world on me. Even just material things where you feel like you can't maybe even travel as freely as you want to because you have all these things that you got to worry about. And so giving up some of those things even just takes off just the tiniest little bit of weight. And honor. And this is treating people as if they were what they ought to be, and you help them become what they are capable of being. So honoring your parents, your siblings, your teachers, your guides, your gurus, people in your community, So this is helping them become their highest self or their best version of themselves, and really an ultimate healer on some wavelength through you, through respecting others. And when others feel the respect from you or that honor, they feel very more motivated to step into their passion. And also very important with honor, I put this in there, it's learning to honor your body. Because I know sometimes my mind will tell me, gotta do this, but my body's feeling a certain way. And it's really hard for me to step back and be like, you know what? I need to honor my body in this moment and just relax, put on some Indian flute music, put on my essential oil diffuser, get some calm, nice healing environment in your home, and honoring your body and doing some breath work and really learning that surrender and letting your body heal. So it can be hard to honor your body sometimes. I know this from personal experience. And discipline. And it's the bridge between our goals and accomplishments. And discipline can be difficult. And I feel like it's more than the willpower. Because when we think of discipline, we think of maybe like a new dietary regimen. And it could be very difficult making better food choices. But as long as we have our eye on that, you know, center of the dartboard, and maybe we'll have a little bit of diversions in between, but we know our ultimate goal. So it's learning that discipline, even if it's just one day at a time, just one little step. And it's also learning to exercise on a daily basis, a meditation practice, and getting out in nature. Maybe I know a lot of people that you live up north, it could be harder to get outside, especially in the wintertime. But I've almost had to face my fear. I was always programmed to feel so, you know, close in from the cold or stay inside. But the more I got some better gear, it was really beautiful being outside. Because you want to talk about stillness and solitude, it's definitely in the wintertime, and you can really kind of tap into more of the inner work, and there's not so many people outside. So it's a really almost a great time to get outside and just breathe into it and really just being more relaxed and feeling more calm and just receiving more clarity in your life. And even journaling, like I was saying, that could be a very disciplinary thing. But again, wrapping around, never beat yourself up for not doing yoga or going outside or journaling or eating so properly. Never beat yourself up. Always know that you are heading towards that ultimate goal and that destination, and you know yourself. And empathy, suffering and joy teach us, if we allow them, how to make the leap of empathy, which transports us into the soul and the heart of another person. And in those transparent moments, we know others' joys and sorrows, and we care about their concerns as if they were their own. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, but balance ultimately, because I feel like I'm a very empathic person, and I'm a Cancer. And so I'm very empathetic and very sensitive to other people's emotions. And sometimes I can almost care about another person more than they care about themselves, and especially working with people with very severe digestive issues like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. It's really hard not to take on other people's energy because you've been there, you've been through it. And especially when people are in the hospital or in the emergency room, or they may be going through a surgery, like you feel their pain, and it's really hard not to take that on as if it were your own. Because again, a lot of those, a lot of us can relate to others and kind of the health journeys that we've gone or health battles that we've gone through. It's really hard not to like feel that from others. It's like, wow, I know you're going through that difficult time. So there is a way to step back and learn balance and not be overly empathetic or too overly sensitive, because sometimes it can start to affect your own health. And vulnerability and owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. So embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy. And those are the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. And only when we're brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. And that's from Brené Brown. And she has the book, The Gifts of Imperfection. It's like really stepping into our own power. It's really stepping out of the fear of who we think we are, that we tend to close ourselves off sometimes, and really coming into our own light by being vulnerable is a really beautiful thing. So it's all about being a catalyst. So I could be vulnerable right now. I could say that I'm not a spiritual guru. I did not receive spiritual enlightenment underneath the fig tree. I mean, the more I look into this, the more awareness that I bring to these things, the more I realize that I'm just in preschool with this stuff. I swear I'm just starting, but the more awareness that you bring to these things, the more you'll be able to learn to balance your health on a mind, body, spirit way. And another spiritual element is intimacy. And if you had an hour to live and can only make a call, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? So intimacy, we always think of something like more like sexual or romantic love, when really intimacy goes beyond that. It could be intellectual, emotional, spiritual intimacy, or that brotherly, sisterly love, or your soul family that you feel like you feel kind of not so much connected with your blood family, but you've gone out in your community, really have found your tribe. So that is your soul family. And so a spiritual path invites attention to our inner life in a way that inevitably connects us to what lives and breathes outside of ourselves. So really, intimacy could be something every moment of every single day. Even just walking out in nature, you can be just very intimate with things that you're observing and seeing, rather than being caught in our mind and thinking of our to-do list and the things that we have to do, when really we just took a moment to be in the now. We look around, we could see beautiful things, and especially those signs, being connected with signs or angel numbers or synchronicities or those things. Sometimes I swear all these signs are coming into place for everybody around us, but it's just learning to tune in your awareness to be able to see those things. And really tuning into those signs and synchronicities has really helped me stay more on my path and not feel like I'm beating myself up. It's really learning to see those signs and, yeah, becoming intimate with every moment of every day. And I'm not perfect. You know, we're not perfect people, but bringing awareness to it when you need it and knowing how to use these tools is a really great awareness and a great tool. An acceptance of certain realities doesn't preclude idealism. It can really lead to certain breakthroughs. And this is not a wishy-washy passive way of making do with what is around you. It's like, it's really accepting. It's really all about letting life flow and unfold before you without ultimately getting in the way. I feel like sometimes we get in the way and we want to be able to follow our spiritual path with the least amount of resistance possible. And sometimes we can get in the way of that. And there's a lot of fear, even in my own self, there's a lot of fear that comes up before me that I have a hard time just setting aside and just allowing my spirit to flow. And yeah, so acceptance of every situation that may happen, even if it was unplanned. Because every situation has its value, and the universe is always for you. It's never against you. It's never trying to beat you up or make you feel like the victim. It's always something to learn from. Everything essentially bad that has happened to us could be an experience to learn and to grow from. And humor is so important. Sometimes you see those spiritual act masters that are kind of very, you know, very flat. But I think humor's some of the best medicine. You know, laughter is some of the best medicine. So I think we should be definitely humorous. And it seems like we don't privilege joy as much as we do suffering. We seem to focus on the suffering more than we do the joy and laughter. And laughter really creates a sense of connection to one another, and it makes people more receptive to your message sometimes, especially when you break that ice sometimes. Sometimes we could talk all science, but if you throw a little humor in there, people tune in, the ears tune in a little more. And life could be serious, it could be deep, and oftentimes tragic, but it's also wild, funny, and a ridiculous adventure if we let it be. And again, it's all about perspective. So being able to step back and seeing that, again, like I was saying earlier, that maybe a bad situation that we perceive in the moment, really with grand perspective, we could see that it was a moment to learn from and something to grow from. So this is a funny little comic here. And since we're talking about spiritual qualities, let's talk about some unspiritual qualities. And these I took from a book from Paul Twitchell, and he calls them the five modes of harmful mental action. So these are kind of your obvious ones: and lust, anger, greed, vanity, and attachment in some ways. I mean, I'm still attached to my hair. Essentially, it's still an attachment. So any one of these five modes of harmful mental action will hold the individual in the physical plane and keep one from traveling in the worlds beyond. And these passions will drive the wellsprings of creativity, and they bring on unthought of aberrations, rising largely from fear and anger. And it is fear that concerns us most here, for fear of the unknown is one of the most outstanding causes of decline in the human spirit. Very true. And to it can be attributed the downfall of anyone who want to move out of their physical state of consciousness and into the higher states. So fear of the unknown can really break the spirit. So really getting rid of that conditioning, or that conditioning to stay in a fear state, can be difficult. And again, honor yourself and just take it just one step, one day at a time. So as I mentioned many times throughout this presentation already, so it's all about balance. It's finding that Goldilocks principle, not too much, not too little, kind of like that in between, and finding the yin and yang, the black and white, kind of whatever's in between there, so that we can find balance. And like I was saying, we can become too overly sensitive. So becoming too empathetic can sometimes not be such a great thing. And again, we're trying to reshape our perception on experiences that we have in our lives, and trying to ultimately see the good in all of them. So, Brandon, what's up? You've been talking, chattering on these spiritual qualities for a while, and it's like, what on earth does this have to do with digestion? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And what I said in the beginning, and understanding the basics of digestion, you'll discover who's in charge. And it's not you. So there's this bigger picture to health, mind, body, spirit, and where you find yourself connected in the world. And so we're going to talk a little more how we connect spirituality and digestion. And really, there's so much outside forces and energy that really affects our physical bodies and those block suppressed emotions, or, you know, emotions are energy. It can keep you in the sympathetic dominant state. And we'll have some good visuals on this. And we've heard this before, probably even through Kimberly Ward's presentation. Definitely is an excellent one. She dives way more in depth than I do on this. But our autonomic nervous system, so kind of around our solar plexus, we have two states, our sympathetic and parasympathetic state. So sympathetic is our fight, flight, or freeze, and parasympathetic is the rest, digest, heal, and calm. And really, we can achieve that through you know, something as simple as breath work, and I'll talk about more of the ways that we can incorporate some of these practices and getting into the healing state or parasympathetic dominant state here in a little bit. And yeah, because this is the only time that healing is really happening in your body. And this is what we're all trying to bring to our bodies. This is what we're all here for. We're trying to learn how to heal and regenerate our tissues so that we can feel a lot more optimal. So the key is getting in that parasympathetic state. And really the physical hardwire connection is the vagus nerve, as we can see kind of down the center here. And a lot of this, if we are in sympathetic, we are, you know, look at the things that will inhibit digestion. So a lot of your stomach juices and secretions, or even motility or your peristalsis can be inhibited because you're in that, you know, you're running from tiger, you know, fight, flight, freeze. Everything's going to lock up, you know, rather than, you know, things digest and flow and all these things, you know, working optimally. And so we're trying to get into that parasympathetic state. And on an energetic level, if we know about the chakra systems and how certain energy systems in our bodies incorporate to certain emotions, or and how those are connected to certain organs or endocrine glands. So even in the center, like our solar plexus, like the center of our autonomic nervous system, I mean, that's our, like our willpower center. And if something is off there, and especially on an emotional level and ultimately a spiritual level, then we can be, you know, noticing a lot of imbalances, like in this case, in our digestion, feeling those gut grumblies, you know, when we're kind of like maybe in a, hey, we got to give a presentation and we're feeling kind of nervous. It's really hard to, you know, focus on digestion and healing, because we're all going to be in these situations, especially in the public or out in the world, where we can't really always ultimately focus on our bodies and staying so emotionally grounded that everything's running optimally, especially in the digestive system. So again, with these energy blocks and obstructions to the flow of energy, and energy blockages, especially on an emotional level, so it's going to be stored energy. We always talk about the issues in our tissues and how a lot of even trauma can store in the tissues. They can be there for a very, very long time. We almost subconsciously program our tissues in a way that we don't even realize. And sometimes when we receive an injury, you know, maybe the pain will go away, but the injury is still in there. And especially with our guts, sometimes we'll feel something, we'll injure our gut and we'll be like, oh, that thing went away. Then it'll resurface later. We're like, wow, okay, what's up with that? There's still an obstruction to the flow of energy. And sometimes that could be, you know, on a energetic level, emotional level, or something that we don't realize even happened to us, or even going through a traumatic surgery or something kind of, you know, really tense up those tissues. And especially the surgery that I went through, a lot can come from that. And I really didn't really realize the emotional weight of what that created in my life. And I didn't really realize or process that until years later. So I almost had like body memories arise. And sometimes these could be scary. And so again, learning that symptoms are signals. And I swear this is why we're given a physical body, to see and learn to interpret these signals that we are given in the form of symptoms, so that our you know, our little pea brains can realize that there's something wrong energetically, maybe on an emotional or mental level too. And so constipation, diarrhea, acid reflux, indigestion, heartburn, bloating, pain. So constipation, you can imagine how much that can affect your spiritual life. Say you're rolling into your yoga or something and coming into your community and you're constipated. It's really kind of hard to really tune in to the inner world and be in the now or be present or get rid of those things racing in your mind. if you're constipated, kind of hard. So awareness is key. Learning to tune into your awareness and know how to use all these tools to ultimately listen to your body and see what it's telling you to do. And sometimes these symptoms can be obvious, like we receive a diagnosis for a chronic illness or we have chronic pain. And again, they can sometimes be subtle. It just come out in the form of anxiety, being short with others, or road rage on the way home. I mean, trauma, again. Kimberly Ward has a beautiful presentation. Better than I could ever do, so definitely check that out. I know she has some awesome stuff on that. And so learning what those obstructions are to the flow of energy is really a great awareness. And again, all of this is on a mind, body, spirit level. And so the more you develop yourself spiritually and learning to activate that parasympathetic nervous system, your reality will change. So your relationship changes, your vibration changes. So you're on a higher vibration. So your food choices change. Maybe you choose more living, vibrant, colorful foods, and your emotions can flow a lot better rather than become so blocked up. And sometimes we feel that heart closing in and throat chakra clamping energy, especially when we want to speak our truth. So, you know, the more that we improve our spirituality, our digestion can improve, our emotions can flow, our environments will change, and we can bring more mindfulness practices into our life. And the more our vibration increases, the more our motility and more our digestion can smooth out and begin to heal. And so here's some physiology of spirituality. So intimacy and empathy help promote the release of oxytocin. So we know that feel good chemical. And gratitude increases the production of dopamine and serotonin. We talked about that. Love, kindness, and generosity decrease the release of cortisol. So kind of that stress hormone. And how laughter can release happy endorphins and enhances the effectiveness of T cells, which strengthens our immune system. And more than 70% of our immune system is housed in our gut. So again, our second brain. And it's very, very important to tune into and realize that 70% of our immune system is in our gut. So it's very important to focus on gut health as it is spiritual health and spiritual health as it is gut health. It's and how they affect each other and going, you know, that synergistic relationship that they have with one another. And again, with the serotonin and how this affects your mood and your anxiety, depression, focus, and ultimately feeling connected with the world. Really focusing on our gut health can really help us out to get more connected with our spiritual lifestyle. And talking about that gut feeling too, sometimes it's that speaks louder than our brain sometimes. So learning to tune into that gut feeling can be very, very important. Very important guide, really. Sometimes I know even in the past, I look back and I didn't follow my gut feeling, and it is really affected, you know, over and over. I see these situations happening and realizing how much they have affected my gut health. And especially being out in public, it was really hard to listen to our gut feelings sometimes. It can be difficult. And then again, the other way around, it's like, what does good digestion even have to do with spirituality? So really, like I was saying the whole time, it's getting connected with our purpose. Like me finding a kind of the hero's journey through learning to heal myself and be free of medications and experience awesome digestion and feel good has allowed me to put that same energy into other areas of my life. So I've really, really put myself out there, and I did a lot of events, a lot of speaking events, and a lot of live demos, and a lot of just community connection and just connecting with others and just offering things that may have helped me and that may help others too. So really helps get in tune with who we might even just be here for. So again, like our passion, stepping into our passion. So having good digestion has really helped me kind of step into really be helping others and me becoming that healer or that highest self, best version of myself, and still working at it. Still working at it day by day. And we're going to talk about a few ways to incorporate a spiritual practice. And so breathing, we talked about breath, and the breath is ultimately your center. Say you're in a stressful situation. You're like, whoa, can't handle this, man. And just be like, just learning to take a moment for a nice deep breath and just learning that nice surrender can really help, you know, just bring you back into that parasympathetic and just tell yourself that everything is actually okay rather than feel like stuck in that moment or too tense. So we can always benefit from even just breath work throughout the day. It's so, so important. So I always try to remember the breath. Breath is my center. And meditation, learning to observe your thoughts. And I heard something somewhere that, you know, to get into a meditative state, instead of like trying to clear the thoughts, you think of thoughtlessness, or even just simply just counting through your breath and just doing breath work can really help us remain centered and maybe get rid of some of those racing thoughts. And even just meditation throughout the day, it's just self-awareness, knowing when to use these tools, when and where they can benefit us and help us kind of just keep calm and chill. And also I found a lot of help in a lot of mantras and affirmations, because what we think is what we become. So even just sending your gut some healing, even though it might be just like bloated and just hurting, or you might be constipated or something, it's just like, just send your gut some healing. Just be like, oh, you are healing. I love you, digestive system. Like, we're working on it day by day. So even just doing those mantras and those repetitions and those affirmations will really help your body get to where you want to be. And journaling, just letting your thoughts flow rather than this mixing sea soup of things, even if it's a to-do list. I mean, that's okay. But we're talking more like emotions, letting your emotions flow. And even when you first wake up, just like letting it all pour out rather than kind of consume you throughout the day. It's a really powerful practice. And just the power of intention on its own. Really, everything comes back to intention. And we're all here for a reason. We're all setting those intentions to ultimately better our health. So that's where it begins. Begins with the power of intention. And another good tool is fasting. I've been fasting at least on a food level for over 5 years now, and it's really helped with a lot of just giving my gut a lot of calm, rest, and healing. But don't dive into a fast. This is not something to do. Just to be like, hey, I'm trying to get connected with my spirit. I need to do a fast. When really fasting isn't always necessarily from food. It could be fasting from your job. I don't need that for a minute. And or fasting from social media or just common stressors. Just a social media fast can be very, very beneficial. And another thing that I've really incorporated into my life is appreciation before meals. It really, really helps my body center rather than, you know, I'm rushing around and up until the moment that I have a meal, then my body isn't really kind of ready to eat anymore. And so when you learn to activate that parasympathetic, you really start to, you know, start the secretion of your stomach juices, and you'll actually start to feel hungry. So even just that appreciation will just calm and ground yourself, and you're going to digest a lot better. And community, ultimately community, and having a place to share your gift is a really good, really good tool. And this is my partner here. She was off in Mexico. This was during her yoga teacher training. So I get to be part of her yoga community too. And we get to do a lot of workshops on herbs or healing the digestion or just cultivating calm just through meditation, yoga nidras, some restorative yoga, if anybody has heard of that. It's really learning. It's not so much the Western yoga of hot power and the getting a workout and a sweat on. It's learning to surrender. So you can maybe only do two or three poses throughout your whole entire restorative yoga practice, but it is really learning ultimate rest and surrender. And when we finally surrender, that's when a lot of that healing happens. So really my partner and I, we really got to be able to get connected with our community. And it's a really beautiful thing to share those tools that we have found that have helped us. So yoga has really been an integral part of my life. And nature is, I feel like that's where my journey began, where I felt like I had to just set everything aside and just go out in nature. And when I finally was out in some sort of like solitude, I started to hear the thoughts go on in my head. And I did realize how much further I had to go on this journey, but like nature allowed me to, well, not only play and have fun and breathe in those good negative ions. It was like, also just learning to process my thoughts and my emotions and just become a lot more grounded person. So nature has really, really helped me kind of break free from that cycle, kind of like that just day in day cycle and all those schedules. So getting out in nature has been really, really helpful. So what is the cost of digestive imbalance? So our comfort and our relationships and our connections with others, or even the side effects of medications. And it inhibits our full ability to participate in those activities that we really, really love. And it can really impair our focus and memory and how that impacts our job function. It can lead to a lot of financial burdens and really ultimately the loss of freedom. So just want y'all to make a commitment to yourself, you know, just on a mind, body, spirit level, and learn to love and nourish yourself a lot more, because I believe our natural state is health. All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Wonderful. That was amazing, Brandon. I was so appreciative of your knowledge and your perceptive, or your, what's the word I'm looking for? Your the way that you view. I love the slide that you had on the physiology of spirituality, right? The way that you view how we can bring together the mind and the body and the spirit to heal, specifically heal the digestion. So it was a really wonderful perspective. That's sort of what I was looking for, your perspective on this, especially with your just your personal experience with such a huge disruption in your digestion. So we're definitely going to open up for Q&A, but I would love to hear a little bit more about your personal story and how the symptoms were signals for you. And it seems to me like those symptoms were signals for you to help you not only bring your gifts of healing to the world, but more of a connection to spirituality through this disruption in your digestion. And is that might be an assumption on my part, but that's what it seemed like. So I'd love to ask you about that a little bit more. How did you get from this horrible disruption in your digestion to this place of healing and spirituality? And do you mind if I stop the share here so we can all see each other again?
Okay. There we go. All right. Yeah. So, it's hard, because even when I realize this, when I step out into kind of the public view, is I don't really realize how much that, like bridging the gap essentially of how far that I've come along this journey. Cause I mean, I didn't tap into spirituality like overnight. And like, this is something that has like almost happened naturally in my life. And it's taken a lot of years. My surgery was over 7 years ago, and I was receiving those symptoms and signals over 10 years ago. I just wasn't in tune with them. You know, just, I was so stubborn in my youth, and I was going through, I was in college at the time, going through computer engineering. I was in my fourth out of fifth year when I finally, the excrement hit the fan, and like my body was like, I'm going to stop you and humble you. So I actually had dropped out of college to kind of tune back more into my body, because I had gone through a traumatic surgery at that time. And this was in my early 20s, but I was receiving the signals even in my teenage years. But again, I was just young and stubborn, and I really didn't want to go to the doctor, or, hey, this would soon pass. And eventually that bit me in the butt, and I went from, you know, my dad carried me into the emergency room one day because I just couldn't handle the pain anymore. And I had kept a lot of this pain, and like I hid a lot of it from my parents because like I felt like I was inconveniencing my parents too. It's kind of like you feel kind of like shameful that like, hey, you're having some like really bad diarrhea or something. It's like, oh, I'll figure this out over here, you know, in the private, when really there was something really bad going on in my body. And I just, yeah, didn't have the heart to almost listen to myself. So my dad eventually just carried me into the emergency room, and I was in there for 7 days, and we did testing every single day. And I had a bladder fistula. So my intestines had connected to my bladder eventually. So I was peeing out fecal matter, and I had a really bad urinary tract infection. And it just eventually became so painful, which was, I learned to handle the gut pain. In a way, it was very painful. It was very hard to deal with. It was the best way I can, I guess, like describe that is like swallowing a cactus, and that cactus just stays there for days. Like that pain, I've even learned to like deal with. But that bladder fistula and that urinary tract infection, that was pain on top of pain. And then my kidneys started to hurt, and they were probably failing. Of course, again, my stubborn self just couldn't go to a doctor or seek some sort of healing modality or something. That, I went into the hospital and eventually went from severe Crohn's disease diagnosis to scheduled surgery all within like the same 7 days. And I didn't have that surgery within that week. I had my surgery 5 months later, so I was living with a bladder fistula and literally peeing out brown water and air and food particles for 5 months straight before I had a surgery for that. But I found out that wasn't the ultimate solution. It wasn't the solution that to cut out and remove and medicate wasn't a way to, you know, heal what was going on inside. So I really stepped into looking into food for one, because I already talked to plenty of doctors or specialists or nutritionists at this point to be like, hey, doesn't my diet have something to do with it? And then they're all like, no, it ain't got nothing to do with it. And I'm just like, I better look into this. So I really started looking into the kind of the food aspects to healing, and that the food aspects opened up the doorway to my mentality and my emotional health, and realizing how out of balance that was. And learning to balance those things really kind of connected me with spirituality and getting out into the world and just healing my body on more of like what I could see on a physical level and an emotional level. It really, you know, I stepped back in life and I was like, I could really help. I can use this gift to help other people. So kind of that's where everything kind of comes together, and things I've been working towards for years and years, and how it all came together.
Thank you for sharing. Too bad the signal had to get so intense for you to listen and pay attention, huh?
Yeah. I swear we a lot of us do this to ourselves. We wait until like the actual moment of crisis to really step into trying new things or seeking out other healing modalities.
Right. And I love how you mentioned that awareness is key, right? Learning how to be aware of what the signals are that our body is sending us information. The universe is working for us. Our body is always working for us.
Yeah.
Often so many people feel like their body is betraying them. I hear this often from clients. My body's betraying me because I'm having this pain or this symptom or this problem, when reality is that it's information. Right? The pain is information that we can use, the signals that your body is giving you, and then to have the skill of awareness to tune in and to tune into the inner healer to find out what is it that we need to do different to feel healthy and whole.
Yeah. Yeah. So another note on that is like, it's like, I'm not the healer, or I'm not like healing people. Really, the healer is ultimately within all of us. So I'm trying to get out there and empower people and tell them that the healer is already within you.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'd love to open it up for questions. So if you have a question, you can unmute yourself and ask Brandon anything. Questions or comments?
Well, I have my question, but if anybody else has one that's quick and easy, go right ahead. Mine's a little more complicated.
Love the complicated questions. Yeah.
And my coaches are here, so, you know, if you can give me some good advice, and they can incorporate it right into my plan.
Yeah. Go ahead. I know we were talking earlier a little bit about this. Yeah, maybe give us some background and hit us with your question.
Right. Just most of my issues are now down to cleaning up my gut and reintroducing some missing good guys whilst trying to not start a war with the bad guys that don't want to move over. So we're still working on that. I've been on a protocol for about 8.5 months now on killing off reducing the population of the yeast by that sensitivity test and rotating so they don't get used to the sequence and smarten up and start talking to each other and protecting each other. But it appears that's where we're at. So I've tried changing up the schedule a bit. We were on a 4-week rotation of caprylic acid, then golden seal, and then the SF-722 by Thorn, which is undiclinic acid, and then Uber Ursi. And then it would do a week on each rotation and then go back and start over again. With the idea that the caprylic acid and the SF-722 were a little bit tricky because the dosages had to be adjusted so slowly and carefully to not cause a reaction. And then actually I was in progress of making that forward motion. And the last several months, I've had to actually reduce because the reaction were happening. That's when we started trying to adjust the schedule to try and outsmart them, because it was like, okay, guys, they're figuring this out. They're starting to talk to each other and
oh, yeah.
They got this rotation all figured out now. And they're, you know, it's not working. So we did change up the schedule a bit. Susan was one that suggested a couple of months ago a resting week where we just don't do anything. So we incorporated like a fifth week, but it still wasn't really working. So my next thought was, well, let's just change the rotation. I'll do like 10 days on one and 5 days on the next, rest a couple days, and just totally throw them completely off. While we wait to do this repeat test. So we just did the repeat test, and I should have, like I said, I should have the results any minute. I was hoping to have them by today, but they haven't showed up by email yet. But we've retested, and we're going to see what else is left down there and see if anybody's become resistant to any one of the four in the protocol. But in the other process of trying to introduce good bacteria, the ones that we're missing, that's where we really ran into problems. So we haven't been able to introduce anything other than the home fermented foods of sauerkrauts, kimchi. And this summer, I basically, starting last spring, I started Dr. Suzanne Bennett's kimchi detox. And I grew all the vegetables myself. This is out of my garden. I'm totally organic, super micronutrient enriched. I mean, I do everything to enrich the soil. And then of course it's my own microbiome. So that has been really, really good. And I can eat that. And so whatever good probiotics I'm getting are in that category. But yeah, we'll be definitely interested in anything you have can add to what we've already done, pending our new results, which we'll get soon.
Yeah, I do like the periods of rest. Sometimes I feel like we bombard our bodies with so much that I do like the sniper tactics, you know, doing something like out of kind of like your normal regimen, but like also just learning to just like simplicity, I swear sometimes is the greatest sophistication. And sometimes our body just needs to like come to like a nice little homeostasis for a minute before we start like, you know, coming in there with the cleansers or certain supplements or yeah, some probiotics or something. You were even saying even just little tiny sprinkles, like I'm a huge fan of that because I felt like that was very important for me to even just, you know, yeah, veganically grow my own cabbages to, you know, counterculture or counter ferment my own sauerkraut. And I would take a glass straw and just get the brine and I'd put my thumb at the end of it and I would just literally just get like a little drop and just like keep on adding. And that was really beneficial, but there was a moment where I just really had to listen to my body that I was getting so many reactions, histamine reactions, whatever it be, that I just had to stop. And I had to stop for a really long time before I got like stable ground, before I started adding in those, whatever, bifido, those things that won't cling to the mucosa for whatever reason. Your body needs to go through another process, maybe detoxification, before it can, you know, really learn to accept those things. So I'm really surprised that you can handle kimchi like a boss, because like, yeah. That's some powerful stuff. I mean, like, I'll react to that very, very, very obviously, and I'll get a lot of symptoms from that. So I'm really surprised that you even.
Everybody's been surprised that I can eat the kimchi, but I can't handle even a grain of probiotic. Well, the thing is that. Well, it goes all the way back to my infancy. I was bombarded with antibiotics as an infant toddler, till they pulled my tonsils out. I had horrible tonsillitis, but so basically that wiped out everything I had. But I was born and raised in Hawaii, and that was kimchi was in my diet all along. So apparently, my gut has been, you know, living on that, and that's why I probably still have some good bacteria down there, but not the right ones. So. In introducing the right ones, then the other ones are going, wait a minute now, we don't want company. We're fine the way we are. We've been that way for 65 years. Leave us the heck alone. I anticipate, and I think that's part of the plan, is eventually we're going to try to work those other probiotics back in. But it's got to be so slow and careful. And if I see any kind of reaction, I've got to instantly stop. So we've got a lot of detox things in order also. But
yeah.
That's the plan, and I know it's going to have to be by food, because apparently, you know, my gut doesn't like these capsulized things, and it's going to have to be grow my own for sure.
Yeah, I'm all about keeping it real, just anything from nature. Yeah, sometimes these whatever they do, they isolate it in a lab and do all these fancy things with probiotics. Sometimes it's like. Again, with the yin and yang, with inoculating your gut with billions of bacteria. I mean, talk about throwing off the balance. You got these large pendulum swings, and even like the tiniest sprinkles. Maybe, again, this is like learning to tune into our awareness, like saying, like, hey, it's not now. It's like, hey, I know you need these bacteria, but like if it's causing you more symptoms than it is healing, maybe just have like a chill out period for, you know, who knows how long. Until your body says, like, hey, maybe I should give this a try again. So, yeah, just stepping back for a minute, letting whatever healing process needs to happen now in this phase, to peel back that other onion layer to be like, okay, I'm now ready for the next step. So maybe it's just chilling out for a little bit.
Go slow and easy then.
Yep,
and I do thank Susan immensely for mentioning that. Take a week off. Where's the week of rest?
Yeah.
Rotation.
Yeah.
You know, it had dawned on me once or twice, but I didn't listen to my own gut feeling that maybe I should be taking a week off once in a while. And I brought it up in our call 3 months ago. So it was like, you know, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to try that. So.
That was a good learning lesson right there, learning to tune in.
Especially since I was starting to get more severe reactions to the ones that I had already been on. And so it really gave my poor butt, my symptoms or reaction is in my rectum and anus. They get incredibly irritated.
Yeah.
Sore. So you know, having a week off, it was like, oh, thank God I can finally heal.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good learning lesson, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diana.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Who else has a question or comment for Brandon? Anything else here?
Nobody else has got one. I would like to mention something. My grandson had a bowel intussusception at 5 months old, and he had about 12 inches of his 5-month-old colon removed. Hmm. And he's living with that now for the rest of his life. What would you recommend to somebody who's already a young adult and has been eating the standard American diet, who's got that kind of a permanent life problem? I've tried to recommend lots of good things to him, but I don't know how much attention he pays to what I say.
Yeah. You know, it's really hard to recommend something without, like, I guess, like a super lot of context. What I like to do, I like to be an intuitive, and I love to connect with people just like on an individual level, because I love to just intuitively pick up like, hey, this is your next step, or this is your next seed. Because really, you can't expect people to just like, boom, just jump out of this, conditioning. And especially somebody younger. And that somewhat gives me an edge sometimes, that I can connect with a like kind of like millennials or like a younger generation, that people are more receptive to like listening to me. But just getting out in the public or just speaking my truth and my message, I have to be very reserved, and I can't just start fire hosing people with the same truth that I have found. So it's just like, man, one tiny bit of information, like I usually just give people, rather than fire hose them, make them feel overwhelmed, and then run the opposite direction and just like kind of put up that mental block and be like, whoa, I'll never visit that ever again. So I'd rather just, it's easier to live normal. So man, it would be really difficult. I would have to connect with that individual, like on like a personal level, to be like, hey, I know this happened, and we maybe do this because maybe you're experiencing this. It's hard, because I mean, it's really going to affect every moment of your life, and it's going to be difficult, especially from a young age. And I know I talk to a lot of mothers, honestly, and they're facing, you know, children or just like younger siblings that are in the hospital that are up against like having a total colectomy. That's having your whole colon removed. And when your whole colon's removed, it's really hard. It is really hard to heal. And especially eating like, say, like a fruit and vegetable like predominant diet, because like even absorption of electrolytes and water are going to be largely inhibited. So it's really difficult, especially having like a little surgery. And somebody that's younger to be like, oh, hey, you got to do all these mind, body, spirit things to heal your gut. It's really, really difficult. So it's about planting little seeds. And really with the youth, I feel like how much their personal lives get affected. Mm-hmm. So having a relationship or like having a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something, and like how much their physical health has to do with that and how much that can get in the way. Sometimes that is enough of a seed to plant to be like, hey, I should make some changes, but no major changes should be really made overnight. No major leaps, unless like sometimes some people do have that serious like health crisis or traumatic health event that has to wake them up. I feel like I would have had no problem living the life that I did just day after day, no problem, unless literally I had to have a surgery for me to be like, whoa, I think I need to do some changes. So it really kind of took the extreme for me to, you know, step into my power and start learning some of these things. So it's tough. It's really tough.
Your story really reminds me a lot of my grandson's kind of whole life. He's 23, almost, he's 23 now and happily married. But as you were explaining how you kind of like stuffed it and ignored it and, oh, it's just a stomach ache, it will go away. He went through that his whole life growing up. And nobody paid any attention to him. He was just, you know, oh, just complaining, you know, you got a stomach ache, you know, it'll go away. You know, so he wasn't getting a whole lot of support. But, yeah, it took, he ended up with a bleeding ulcer and ended up in the hospital and getting blood in him from the bleeding. And so he has H. pylori also, but it was in his stomach. They were actually going to have to go in and sew a patch over. The hole was this big.
Oh, wow.
They said there was no way it would ever heal shut, so they were going to do surgery. Well, Grandma got a hold of him, did a little praying over him, got him a little bit better spiritual spot, and sent him back to, he's in Washington State. So aren't you in the Northwest somewhere?
Yeah, I'm in Ohio, actually. So I'm in Northeast.
You're Northeast. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were in the Pacific Northwest. That's too bad because, yeah, if you were in the Pacific Northwest, we could probably get you hooked up with him. His wife, yeah, Fortunately, is all into the health foods and stuff, and she's feeding him wonderfully. But, yeah, to have, and for his experience to be when he was an infant, he doesn't remember consciously any of it. But he's
right.
He got wounds, and you can see it in him. When something emotional happens, he's grabbing for his gut, totally unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of healing to go there. So
it could be really difficult because that has become his normal his whole entire life. Yeah. Learning to dodge symptoms or lean towards one side of the body to, you know, hide a pain that's in his body. And it's really difficult, yeah, especially when that's your normal every single day of life. It's really hard. So ultimately what he needs a support system. He needs a support system. I do have a Facebook group where a lot of us come together and we share our experiences and stuff. So I do have a Facebook group.
Yeah, I thought your page. Is that the same group, the Gut Back to Nature?
Yeah. It's the Gut Back to Nature. So, I mean, I do have a Facebook support group and also like Instagram, and I also am on YouTube. So,
I'll send
the young people love the YouTubes. that can be a start.
Because she's, like I say, she is totally into all of the nutritional, natural, plant-based, keto, you name it. Good stuff. She doesn't let him eat the crap food anymore. He does that when he goes to work. McDonald's. You know, just go home and eat lunch. Really good care of him.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's got a good partner, and that might be that's a good start. That is an excellent start.
Yeah. There's definitely some support there. So that's important because I don't think he's had a whole lot of symptoms since that young lady came into his life.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful thing then.
It is. So, yeah, congratulations on your healing.
And, hey, thank you.
Thank you for this presentation. It was awesome.
Hey, you're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Who else has any last questions or comments? Okay, great. There, let's see.
Oh, we got to unmute you.
Can you hear me now?
Now yep. I can, yeah.
Okay, great. Brandon, that was a fabulous presentation. Thank you. So a lot of things kind of came up for me, also being an empath. And you did talk about fear a couple of times. And of course I know that fear has an effect on digestion and what we might choose to eat and all of that, but I have too many other things to think about, right? I have too many other things, like I'm so strict with what I eat, so I like sort of let that take over and almost pay no attention to the fear. So that's interesting to hear that. I actually had a realization just recently. And that is that being the oldest child of six, I took on a lot of my father's fear and a lot of my mother's fear. But my father's fear is the one that I think, well, maybe they're both just as impactful. But it's, I don't think of myself as being fearful or having fear. So I think of myself as pretty courageous. And so I know it's there and I know it's not mine. And it's just recently that I've kind of come into touch with the fact that, oh, my healing step could be letting go, realizing, fully realizing and letting go of that fear that isn't even mine. Mm-hmm. And I wondered what you might have to say about that.
Yeah, so I'm bringing a lot of awareness into my own life and just realizing how much ancestral kind of like inheritance of those emotional aspects or like even just those fears and like, I mean, those things were brewing while you were in the womb and like that fear was essentially being like transferred to you. So, I mean, you're kind of like almost born with it.
Yes. And,
so kind of like, it starts with awareness and it sounds like it's in your awareness and releasing those things and those tensions and those like attachments and those sorts of things. And because ultimately you will get to like a more healing state and just awareness is really what is on your side. And just learning those little tools that even though when things do come up subconsciously or like they do arise to your conscience and you do like realize them, it's like learning some of those little tools, even just like breath work, or like maybe you feel it in your body, a certain area. So usually maybe like root chakra or sacral, kind of like belly button or below or somewhere around your digestive system, even just placing a hand there and just giving it just like some nice calm, maybe even just like some just a little like just sensual touch or just like a circular like clockwise calming motion, because sometimes we can hold it up and clamp our guts like this and we don't even realize it. So even just realizing like where it comes up in the body and just giving it calm to kind of reprogram that nervous system and is really what's going to help. And yeah, it begins with awareness. It sounds like you've done a lot of steps to get into a better place in your life. So yeah, just bringing as much calmness to your gut area or wherever you feel the fear come up is a key.
I've been doing my best to remember, and it's not a habit yet, but I'm hoping it will be, to take a few deep breaths before I begin to eat. Like I do, I always give gratitude for everything I put in my body, even if it's something that I wouldn't have on my very strict diet plan. Every now and then I have to let go. And so I'm grateful for that too. I don't punish myself for the fact that, okay, this is good. This will give me more information. It's perfect. Just go for it. Don't be like, damn, I blew it. Or, I'm doing my best. I used to do that continually. And now it's like, I think something has shifted because I'm not doing that anymore. Oh, thank God. And I could see myself now, besides giving gratitude for the food, I could also thank myself for making whatever food choices I have done for this meal. I could also see myself holding my belly and just actually letting the love flow through my hands. And along with breath work, I think those are all really powerful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
You know, I, as a trauma therapist, I'm working with a lot of people that have inherited trauma. And one thing I have found to be really useful is on the topic of gratitude is to, when we tune into the fact that we perhaps are carrying something that's not even ours, right? Like my father's trauma or his fear or his wound, to bring in the gratitude and then to send love to the father's wound, to send love to the father's experience, right? Because I believe that when we heal ourselves, we really are healing generations. Collective trauma is big in our reality at this present moment in time on this planet. We have literally carried the epigenetic changes of stress and trauma through many generations. And the beautiful thing is sometimes we don't have enough willpower to do things for ourselves. But if we're doing it for our child or we're doing it for our grandparents or our parents, sometimes it gives us a little more motivation to stick to a process. So being able to say, oh, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to heal not only myself, but my father as well and my grandfather and that lineage, we can end the patterns of destruction that we've had for so many millennia, right, as humans.
That's beautiful. I love that. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Heavy stuff, huh? It's not just taking the right probiotic, right? Or eating the right food, right? It really is being able to tune into the awareness of what is the symptom telling us. Maybe the symptom is telling us this is my dad's stuff. I don't need to carry it anymore. I can love it and move on. It's not mine, right? And the gut is a barrier. Lynn and I talk about this, right? When we have leaky gut, we often have leaky boundaries. We have to have spiritual and emotional and mental and physical boundaries in our world, especially when it comes to digestion, right?
Right. And especially with somebody who's empathic. Mm-hmm. Boundaries are just so essential and they can slip and slide. Yeah.
And the symptoms help us have awareness if we allow it. Right, if we can allow ourselves to relax and surrender to the truth of what's here, accept, as Brandon was saying, accept what is happening, what is the truth of this, what is the message for me, what is the wisdom in this experience for me, and ultimately it's just an experience, right? Even if it's painful, it's still just an experience, and the awareness of that experience can help us move into a solution instead of staying overwhelmed in the experience itself.
Yes, so true. And I know for me, my life pattern has looked like whatever isn't going well with my body, whether it's, you know, I'm coming down with a cold, which I almost never do, or whatever it might be. Oh, my knee is hurting today. It's like, what did I do wrong? I'm always like looking to see, how did I cause this? And the truth is, it's just a gift. If I purely see it as a gift, the pain is giving me a gift, or the symptoms, whatever they are a gift for me, to me. It's like, there's really nothing wrong. It's just looking at what is the gift here. And that's just so powerful.
Very well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. What an amazing presentation, Brandon. So loved your work and your ability to take a stand on the importance of the spiritual aspect of healing and digestion. So I respect your efforts and your experience and look forward to learning more from you. And I'm excited to see how you take this forward in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone.
All right. All right. Thank you all. It's so lovely to be in your presence and to be with you today. And the replay will be up soon, so you can go back and get more of the wisdom. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Bye.